I want to read one more verse about this man Enoch that we read about from the book of Genesis. This verse comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5, where the Bible says, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." This morning, I want to talk to you about Enoch. Enoch was a very amazing man whose story is recorded in the Bible. You know, he was only one of two men that got to go to heaven without dying. If you go back and you read Genesis chapter 5, you'll find the phrase eight different times, "and he died." Genesis 5, verse 5, "And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died." Verse 8, "And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died." Verse 11, "And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died." Verse 14, "And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died." Verse 17, "And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died." Verse 20, "And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died." Verse 27, "And all the days of Methuselah," the oldest man that ever lived, "were 969 years, and he died." And then in verse 31, "And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died." And in the middle of all this death, eight different times, there's a notable exception. Verses 23 and 24, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Of course, the only other man in the Bible that got to go to heaven without dying was that man Elijah, who was carried to heaven in a whirlwind. And so Enoch, one of two that never died. Bible also says that he was one of two that walked with God. Genesis 5:24, we read it. "And Enoch walked with God." The only other person in the Bible that says that he walked with God was one of Enoch's great, and I don't know how many greats, but one of his grandsons, a man by the name of Noah. Genesis 6:9, "And Noah walked with God." Nowhere else in the Bible do you find that phrase, "he walked with God." Just Enoch and Noah, not David, not Abraham, not any of the disciples, not any of the prophets, nobody else in the Bible, not Paul, not Timothy, not Peter, just Enoch and Noah walked with God. And then here's something else you might not know about Enoch. He was one of two that the Bible says pleased God. In Hebrews 10:5, the Bible says, "He pleased God." Or Hebrews 11:5, "He pleased God." The only other one in the Bible that that's recorded about is the Lord Jesus Christ. When God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This morning, I want to look at three parts of Enoch's life. They form the points of my message this morning. I want to look at Enoch's walk with the world. That's what he did for the first 65 years of his life. And then I want to look at how Enoch came to God. We don't talk about people in the Old Testament being saved, but they were saved the same way that we are, by the cross. Enoch was saved by the cross just like I was saved by the cross. Enoch was looking forward to what the Lamb of God was going to do on the cross. I look backward to what the Lamb of God did. And so I want to look at how Enoch came to God. It came when his son was born, Methuselah. And then I want to look at my third point, Enoch's walk with God. His walk with God, the last 300 years of his life. And so let's look at Enoch's walk with the world. I will remind you this morning that Enoch was not born perfect. I mean, the Bible says that Adam begat Seth, Seth begat Enos, Enos begat Canaan, Canaan begat Mahalalel, Mahalalel begat Jared, and Jared begat Enoch. His dad, Jared was a sinner, because his grandpa, Mahalalel, was a sinner, because his great-grandpa, Canaan, was a sinner, and his great-great-grandpa, Enos, was a sinner, and his great-great-great-grandpa, Seth, was a sinner, and his great-great-great-great-grandpa, Adam, was a sinner. And the Bible says in Romans 12, wherefore by one man sin came, entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. When Adam sinned, the sin nature passed upon every person. Here's what I found out. I don't know much about medicine. I don't like to go to the doctor. I only go when I'm dying, and I don't go very much. But the medicine tells us that our blood comes from our dad. No part of our blood comes from our mom. All our blood comes from our dad. And so Enoch, even though he walked with God, even though he pleased God, he was a sinner because he had the tainted blood of that first sinner, Adam, that coursed through his veins. By the way, Enoch not only had that sin nature, he lived in a sinful world. He lived in a world where whatever people thought, they did. There was no constraint. There was no holding back. They had a thought, and it was usually evil, and the Bible says they did it. In fact, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was evil continually. They lived in a world that they did their own thing. Didn't matter how bad it was. It didn't matter how evil it was. But they did it. If they thought it, they did it. And for 65 years, Enoch walked with the world. Now, we've talked about it before. When you walk with somebody, there's four things that are true. There's four things that you do when you walk with somebody. You have the same destination that they do. You're headed to the same place. Second, you've decided to go the same way. If you're walking with somebody, again, you're going to the same place, and you're headed, you've decided to take the same way. You agree with them, number three. At least you've agreed on where you're going and how you're going to get there. And number four, when you walk with them, you usually fellowship with them. And so, again, for the first 65 years of his life, Enoch walked with the world. He had the same destination. They were headed for destruction. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And death for Enoch's world came in the flood. When God destroyed the whole world in the flood. That's how Enoch's world was punished. And so Enoch was headed toward that destruction as he walked with the world. He was going the same way as the world. I mean, the Bible doesn't say anything about it, but I think Enoch was a sinner. I think not only did he have a sin nature, he committed sin. He did those things that came into his mind that were evil. That's the world that he lived in. No restraint, no walls, no barriers. He did whatever he wanted. He agreed with the world. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so Enoch agreed with the world. He had the same priorities. He had the same desires. He had the same standards as to what was right and what was wrong that the world did. And then he had fellowship with the world. His buddies, his friends, were people that were doing the same thing that he did, that were walking in the same way that he walked. His fellowship was with the world. And for the first 65 years of his life, Enoch walked with the world. But then something happened. Something happened that changed his life. Something happened that if you compare Enoch before this event to Enoch after this event, you would think you were looking at two different people. Because something happened that changed his life. He met God. It'd be like saying today, he got saved. He met God. He met God when his son was born. When Methuselah was born. Now, I've seen other people come to God when they had children. I mean, I had the privilege of leading a dad to the Lord as we stood outside the nursery looking through the window at his little boy that had just been born a few hours before. He had come to our church, and we were looking at his little boy. And he said, "Preacher, you know, this just changes everything for me. All those times that you preached about Jesus and I walked out and said I didn't need him, I need him now. I got a little boy to raise. I want to raise him for God. I don't want him to grow up the way I grew up. I want him to grow up in church." and I had the privilege of taking the gospel and leading them to the Lord that day. And I've seen other people come to God when their children were born. They realize they have a responsibility now not just to themselves, about themselves, but this one to who God had given him. But it was sort of a bit different with Enoch. I believe God came to Enoch when that little baby was born, and God gave Enoch a message. That message was, Enoch, the world that you live in is a wicked place, and I put up with it for a long time. But I want to tell you something. When your little baby boy dies, I'm going to destroy the world. When your little baby boy dies, I'm going to bring punishment, and I'm going to bring judgment on this world. That's what the name Methuselah means. When he is dead, it shall be sent. What God was telling Enoch is when your son dies, my judgment is going to come on the world. You study the book of Genesis. You study chapter 5, and you study chapter 6, and you study the years that God gave to each person. You go back and you count up the years, you'll find that Methuselah was born 712 years after God created Adam. Adam was 712, he was still alive, and he was 712 years old when Methuselah was born. Methuselah was 187 years when he begat Lamech. So 899 years have expired since Adam was created. Lamech was 182 years when he begat Noah. So it was a year, and I'm not going to get into BC and AD and all that other stuff, but it was 1,081 years since Adam was created. Noah was 500 years old when he started the ark, so that's 1581. It took him 100 years to finish, so that's 1681. Methuselah lived 969 years, the oldest man that ever lived. And by the way, he was the oldest man that ever lived because of God's grace, because of God's mercy. God knew when that little boy died that his judgment was going to come, and so he let him live longer than anybody else so that people could turn back to him, so that people would realize that destruction was coming and they get on the ark and avoid the flood. But let me go ahead and finish my math. You add 969 years to 712, the year that he was born, and you get the same year, 1681. The flood came 1681, the year that Methuselah died. I think it came the day that he died. I don't know that for sure. Bible doesn't say, but I know God knows numbers. And I believe that God keeps his word. I believe that when Methuselah died, destruction came. God came to Enoch. He gave him that message. And I'm sure Enoch thought about it a little bit. I'm sure Enoch wondered. I wonder if God really does what he says. I wonder if God keeps his word. He's talking about destruction and judgment and punishment that's coming. I wonder if God really does what he says. I wonder if Enoch went to Adam. Adam was still alive at this point. Sometimes we don't make those connections because we don't take the time to count up the years. But Adam was still alive. And I can see this 65-year-old man going to his great-great-great-great-great-grandpa and asking the question, Grandpa, does God do what he says? Does God keep his word? Do you think God is really going to destroy the earth when my son Methuselah dies? And I think Adam looked at his great-great-great-great-great-grandson. Maybe a tear came to his eye. And he said, yes, sir, Enoch, God does exactly what he says. And Adam thought back to that time in the Garden of Eden when he walked with God, when he fellowshipped with God. And God said, Adam, don't eat of the fruit, because the day you eat the fruit, I got to separate myself from you. You got to die. You got to be separated from me. God keeps his word, Enoch. That's exactly what happened to me and your great-great-great-great-great-grandma. We disobeyed God. We had to pay the price that sin brought. We had to pay the price that disobedience brought. Yes, sir, mark it down, count on it. God keeps his word. I want to tell you something, he hadn't changed. The Bible, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it's still true. It hasn't changed. When the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die, it's still true. It hasn't changed. There's still a punishment for sin. God will not change his mind. He can't. And that day And I don't know if it was today, but that at that time when his little baby was born and he got that message from God. And again, I don't know if he talked to Adam or not, but he believed God. He believed the message that he got from God. He believed that sin was going to be punished. And he said, I need to come to God. And again, people in the Old Testament got saved the same way we do. They were looking forward to what Jesus was going to do on the cross. We look backward to what he did. Enoch got saved, if I can put it in that terminology. He met God. He came to God. And then the Bible says he walked with God. We read it in that verse. Verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. He no longer walked with the world. He walked with God. He changed his destination. No longer was he headed for destruction. He was headed for reward. He was headed for heaven. No longer was he under the first part of Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But he was under the last part of that verse where it says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He changed his destination. He changed his way. No longer did Enoch do whatever he wanted to do. No longer did he not have any constraints. No longer did he do whatever he thought. For the next 300 years, Enoch lived a disciplined life. He had constraints. He had constraints. He did what God told him to do. In fact, you know what the name Enoch means? It means to narrow, to discipline. You see, God could look forward when Enoch was born 65 years into the future. And he had his daddy give him a name that characterized what his life was about after he met God. A life that was disciplined. A life that was obedient to God. He changed who he agreed with. No longer did he agree with the world anymore. He didn't have their priorities. He didn't have their desires. He didn't have their standards. God gave him a new set of priorities, a new set of desires, a new set of standards. The same thing he does to us when we get saved. All things become new. We don't agree with the world anymore. We agree with God. And then he changed who he had fellowship with. Because he no longer fellowshipped with the world. He now fellowshipped with God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So he walked with the world. He met God. And then he started walking with God. I want you to notice as I close some of the things that resulted in Enoch's life because of that decision. First of all, I think he raised godly children. I don't know much about his child. The Bible doesn't say much about Methuselah, except that he was the oldest one that ever lived. Doesn't say much about Lamech, but it says a lot about Noah. The Bible says that Noah pleased or walked with God. I think Enoch had something to do with his grandson's walk, or his great-grandson's walk with God. Enoch also stood for right. Again, you may not notice it when you read it, but in Jude verses 14 and 15, when the Bible says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He stood for right. He stood for right in a world that had nothing to do with God, that wanted nothing to do with God's standard, his rules. And then he got to go to heaven to be with God. God took him. He didn't die. He didn't have to go through the portal of death. And I've heard other preachers talk about it. They were fellowshipping together. And one day, when Enoch was walking with God, God said to him, hey, Enoch, we're a whole lot closer to my house than we are yours. Why don't you just come home? Why don't you just come home with me? And the Bible says that God took him, translated him. The Bible uses the word. He just got to go home. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to go to heaven? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were so close to God, when you were fellowshipping with God, that one day God said, okay, let's go home. I don't want to leave you here anymore. Come on home with me. Now, how did he do it? He was a human being just like us. How did he do it? Well, the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11, verses 5 and 6, by faith, Enoch was translated. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Let me ask you this morning, who you walking with? Who you walking with? If you're walking with the world, let me tell you where you're headed. You're headed toward hell. You're headed toward that place where you will be eternally separated from God. Forever. I was talking to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they said, hey, preacher, I think there's a way out of hell. I said, you do? How do you think you can get out of hell? He said, well, I believe that if your relatives that are still alive pray for you, that they can pray you out of hell. And I said, I took my Bible, I had my Bible with me. I said, can you open this book and show me where it says that? Because if that's true, it gives a whole new meaning. I need to change everything I've been preaching for the past 30 years. Show me that verse. Of course, he couldn't, because it's not in there. Because once a person goes to hell, you don't get out. There's no escape. You are there eternally. And if you're walking with the world this morning, you're headed for hell because you're a sinner and the wages of sin is death. You say, preacher, how can you say I'm a sinner? I say you're a sinner because that's what the Bible says. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you're going to be punished for that sin. And that punishment is to be eternally separated from God. Let me tell you what you need to do this morning. You need to meet God. You meet God through the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you on Calvary. That's how you meet him. You don't meet him any other way. You don't come to God any other way. You only come through Jesus Christ and what he did on Calvary. And if you're here this morning and you're walking with the world, you know, the Bible says sin for a season is pleasurable. You may be having fun. You may be enjoying yourself. But don't live just for today. Look to eternity, where you're going to spend forever. Where's your soul going to go when your body dies? It's going to die one day if the Lord tarries. Where is your soul going to live forever? There's only two destinations, heaven and hell, with God or apart from God. Only two destinations, and only those that come to God get to go to heaven. If you don't know that you belong to God, I invite you to come this morning through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when we come, we need to walk with him. We're headed to the same place, and we're going the same way, but we need to walk with him. We need to live that life that's disciplined. We need to live in that straight and narrow way, a way that's pleasing to God. Every Christian has that opportunity. Every Christian, the same way that Enoch did, by faith, can walk with God. So again, I ask you, who are you walking with this morning? I hope you're walking with God. As I look around, most people I know are walking with God because they've come to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about you? What about you? Why don't you just decide this morning, I want to walk with God. I want to walk with him. The only way you can do that is to come to his son, come to Christ. Would you do that this morning? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it that reminds us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that nobody comes to you but through him. And I pray for those that are here that have never done that. They've never received Christ as their Savior. They've never admitted that they were a sinner and that they needed a Savior and prayed and asked Jesus to be theirs. But they can do that right now. They can do that right where they sit. They can pray that prayer that you taught sinners to pray, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need your mercy. Dear Jesus, save me. I trust you. Trust what you did on Calvary for me. I depend on it to make me right with God. Please be my Savior. And Father, those that call upon you, the Bible says, shall be saved. And I pray that every person here this morning that's never done it would pray that prayer and ask Jesus to save them. And I pray, Father, in this time of invitation that they would walk the aisle and confess him. Let us know what they've done. If they need help to do it, help them to come. We'll help them. Show them from the Bible what it is to ask Jesus to be their Savior. And so, Father, I ask you to bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Work in our hearts. Help us to be obedient. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.